this is your Polycast for Wednesday, January 25th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, Governor Mark Dayton says cancer won't hold him back, and he releases a budget plan. Governor Dayton has disclosed that he has prostate cancer. He revealed the diagnosis while addressing his health a day after he collapsed during his State of the State address. Dayton says despite the health setbacks, he's determined to complete the final 2 years of his term. Brian Baxt has more.
A routine screening during Dayton's annual physical detected a prostate abnormality. A biopsy was conducted, and Dayton was apprised late last week that it was likely cancerous.
I feel very blessed and have as healthy a life as I've had, despite some of my recent surgeries. I mean, generally speaking, I've been incredibly fortunate as I look at other people's life experiences. So, it's grim, but it is what it is. It's not that uncommon. And as they said down there, it's one of their best success stories.
So. Dayton insisted he has the stamina to carry him through 2 more years. He says he won't step down, but he says he will be as forthcoming as possible about his medical condition.
My health is a legitimate public issue. People deserve a governor who's on the job, is qualified to perform the job intellectually and physically. I believe I am.
Bodwardnath Kaneti is chair of the University of Minnesota Urology Department. He isn't involved in Dayton's care. Kaneti says the severity of the cancer will dictate what, if any, treatment is recommended. Kaneti says Dayton and his doctors might decide to do nothing for now.
If he had a low-risk prostate cancer or even a small amount of medium-risk prostate cancer, I would probably be inclined to watching this for a while, at least until he's done with his term and has the ability to focus on treatment more. That would not pose any kind of threat to his life in that interim time period, and he should have no deleterious side effects from just watching it.
A higher risk assessment could make surgery, radiation, or a newer therapy unavoidable. Those could slow Dayton down or force him to take time off. Prostate cancer is among the most common cancers for men, and Kaneti says about 40% fall into the low-risk category at the time of diagnosis. It affects a gland near the bladder and rectum. The cancer can make urination painful and is sometimes fatal. But other men who have it don't experience much discomfort and can live for many years after it is treated. According to the American Cancer Society, 1 in 7 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer during his lifetime. Most new cases are in men older than 65 years old. Dayton turned 70 on Thursday. The governor says his father had prostate cancer surgery when he was about the same age.
Told him 5 years later that he would die of something, but it wouldn't be prostate cancer, so I hope for the same result.
Bruce Dayton went on to live for 25 years after his surgery. Dayton said he planned to make the cancer diagnosis public after deciding on a course of treatment. But he revealed details sooner after Monday night's fainting spell, in which he hit his head and briefly lost consciousness.
I believe they're two separate issues. I'm not a doctor, but I don't believe there's any connection. I don't feel anything. I would know I had prostate cancer if it weren't for the test. I don't feel any effects.
Kaneti, the urologist, says that prostate cancer rarely interferes with the central nervous system. Dayton says he felt warm in the House chamber. About 45 minutes into the speech, he says he began feeling like something wasn't right.
Came up on me before I could do anything about it. The speech was too long. I learned that lesson.
Covering politics, I'm Brian Baxt at the Capitol.
And after an exam late yesterday, a Mayo Clinic spokesman said doctors believe the governor's fainting was situational and related to standing for a long time while giving his speech and possibly dehydration. It is not related to his prostate cancer diagnosis, they said. It's premature to offer any more details at this time, the statement went on. Governor Dayton will learn more about his treatment plan after meeting with his Mayo Clinic medical team next week. Amid those questions about his health, Dayton rolled out his final 2-year budget proposal yesterday. The $45.8 billion 2-year plan is heavy on health care spending, education, and transportation. Tim Pugmire reports.
With President Trump and the Republican Congress poised to dismantle the Affordable Care Act, Dayton is looking for a new health insurance choice for Minnesotans who buy insurance on the individual market. Dayton said his public option proposal would be an extension of the Minnesota Care program that already assists low-income individuals and families. After a $12 million startup, he said premiums would cover the costs.
This public option could offer better benefits than many policies presently on commercial markets. More options for people to keep their doctors and clinics,
and less expensive coverage than what is available today.
Dayton said he also wants to continue the 2% state tax on health care providers that is currently scheduled to go away in December 2019. Since taking office, Dayton has successfully pushed every year for an increase in education spending. This budget calls for a 2% increase in the per-pupil funding formula each of the next 2 years. The cost of the increase is $371 million. Dayton is also proposing increased spending on early childhood education initiatives, including the pre-kindergarten classrooms that he wants to make available in more public schools. His pre-K proposal is $75 million.
I believe there'll be school districts all over Minnesota who will be contacting their legislators and indicating their strong desire to participate in this program if we get an increase in funding.
Dayton says transportation is another of his budget priorities. His plan for funding a backlog of road and bridge projects includes an increase in the gas tax and an increase in registration fees. Dayton challenged lawmakers to do something this session to address the state's transportation needs.
This is a year it really is imperative that the legislature act. And if they don't want to adopt my proposal, then they need to come up with their own. But it has to be real funding.
Republicans remain opposed to a gas tax increase. They want to tackle transportation with existing revenues. House Speaker Kurt Dowd said he wants to provide more tax cuts than what the governor is proposing.
One of the most troubling things, I think, in this budget are the tax increases. One of the most regressive taxes that you can put on Minnesotans is a gas tax.
Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka said Republicans share some of the governor's broad budget goals in areas such as education and health care, but they differ on approaches. He said he personally views the public option health insurance plan as a non-starter. Gazelka also thinks Dayton's budget calls for too much new spending.
We had a $2 billion tax increase 4 years ago. We now have a surplus, and yet the governor's proposal is to increase spending 10%, and that's just more than we think is appropriate.
Republicans also raised concerns about proposed fee increases in the governor's plan, including those aimed at hunting and fishing. House and Senate committees will begin holding hearings on the governor's budget proposal. Republicans will detail their competing budget plans later in the session. Covering politics, I'm Tim Pugmire at the Capitol.
And let's take a closer look at the governor's plan for a public option in health care. He's pitching to let people buy into MinnesotaCare in response to enormous premium spikes and much narrower provider networks this year. The public option idea has long been popular among Democrats. Republicans see it as a step toward ending private health insurance. Mark Zadeklik has the story.
MinnesotaCare provides subsidized health coverage to 100,000 low and moderate income Minnesotans. Premiums are based on income. Right now, a family of four making up to $49,000 is eligible for the subsidized coverage. Dayton says allowing people with higher incomes to buy MinnesotaCare coverage with no state subsidies would achieve the original promises of the Affordable Care Act.
This public option could offer better benefits than many policies presently on commercial markets. More options for people to keep their doctors and clinics, and less expensive coverage than what is available today.
Human Services Commissioner Emily Piper says making MinnesotaCare a public option would require one-time startup costs of $12 million. That's a tiny fraction of the cost to build MenSure. After that, she says people buying the coverage would cover the full costs. Taxpayer dollars would not be needed. Piper says the improvements Dayton is promising are possible because of state government's buying power.
We're able to leverage our purchasing power as the state's largest insurance purchaser, and we would have savings relating to that. We also have a really low overhead, administrative overhead, in running our MinnesotaCare program.
Piper says the proposal calls for two coverage options equivalent to silver and gold plans on MenSure. One would pay 70% of expected health costs. The other would have a higher premium and cover 80% of likely costs. Under the plan, DHS says the monthly premium averaged over the entire state would be $469 next year. The Minnesota Council of Health Plans, which represents the state's health insurance companies, called Dayton's proposal a big lift, but also said the idea warrants study. Minnesota cannot open up MinnesotaCare to everyone without first securing a waiver from the federal government. Candidate Donald Trump talked a lot about expensive individual market premiums and even quoted Dayton arguing for the repeal of the Affordable Care Act.
The Democratic governor has just said the Affordable Care Act in Minnesota is no longer affordable.
That was Trump speaking in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, days before the election. During the campaign, Trump opposed a national public option, saying it would drive away private insurers, leaving Americans with fewer options and eventually no choices but a government-run plan. Still, University of Minnesota health economist Steve Parente says Trump might grant Minnesota a waiver.
If you look at what the president has put out in his first executive order, literally his first day in office, it basically encourages states to relieve burdens on individuals and look for innovation. It really is an open invitation, potentially, for Minnesota to think about this.
Even with a green light from the White House, Dayton could not move forward without the support of Republicans who control both houses of the legislature. One of their leading health policy voices is House Health and Human Services Finance Committee Chairman Matt Dean. Dean says expanding government's role in health care is a bad idea.
It's taking government in the wrong way for the prescription that we need is actually smaller, more affordable plans that are more market receptive.
But Dayton says his plan would give Republicans much of what they want, including more competition for insurers.
And we can show the kind of options that people will have without it and with it. You know, one of the biggest concerns this year was that there are so few providers in so many of the areas of the state. And this would be one additional one that could provide competitively priced, even lower cost health insurance with better coverage. And I think Minnesotans should not be denied that opportunity.
Dayton says if Minnesota Care is to become a public option next year for sale through MenSure, lawmakers need to agree on a federal government waiver request by April 1st. Covering health care, I'm Mark Zedeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Wednesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom.